I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to this week of Beating the Boom. We got a very special guest that's going to be calling in here shortly. He's one of us. And when I say one of us, meaning a Buckeye. And this guy's not only a Buckeye, but, I mean,
he's a Colt, too.
He was a Colt. Yeah, he was. But this is one of the I don't know how to classify him as a – when I talk about him being a Buckeye and where he ranks as, you know, just all-time reliable.
Yeah,
that's what all-time – one of the most all-time reliable players to ever come through Ohio State. That's Anthony Gonzalez and Congressman Anthony Gonzalez, as we call him, Gonzo.
Yeah.
We're going to have him on the show. We're going to break down this Fair Pay-for-Play Act – that Governor Gavin Newsom out in California just signed that bill, man. So it's going to be real interesting, man, to hear his thoughts on that and his thoughts on potentially, making Ohio,
that's huge.
Making that bill in the legislation here in Ohio. That's going to be huge. I can't wait to hear what he has to say on it, man. Boom, what's going on with you?
Not much, man. Just chilling out. Excited to have Gonzo come on here and chop it up, excited.
How'd your games do last week, man? On betdsi.com. You know we always got to bring that in.
Well, I said that Michigan was going to lose. I took that straight up, so I took an L on that.
You thought Michigan was losing to Rutgers?
I mean, no. I didn't take it straight up. I took it with some points.
Okay.
And obviously Rutgers.
Shit, Rutgers' coach got fired after that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that, but he should have. I mean, when you lose to freaking Michigan, was it 49-0?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, so I didn't do good on my bets, man. But, hey, he lived to see another day, so I'm going to run it back again.
I did okay. I took Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, I won that. Obviously.
I took the school up north.
But you didn't take the spread, though, right?
With Ohio State?
You said Ohio State wasn't going to cover the spread.
Oh, hell yeah, I said we was going to cover the spread. That's a wild question. I knew Ohio State. I didn't think Nebraska was that good. Nonetheless, we took it to BetDSI, and I got paid very fast. I got my money for winning.
Beating 100?
Beating 100. Okay. Of course I used that. Man. Right, you cool. Got to.
Just making sure.
We're going to have Gonzo come in right now. We now bring in, like I just said, Mr. Reliable, one of the most all-time reliable Buckeyes, was a great teammate, went on to do some great things with the Indianapolis Colts. Now he's doing great things for the United States of America as a congressman. Welcome our guy, when I say our guy, Buckeye, Anthony Gonzalez. Brother. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the show, man. It's great to have you on. And I know you've probably been so busy the past couple of days talking about this Fair Pay for Play Act that was just passed down on legislation there in California with, I think, it's Governor Gavin Newsom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what's been your thought on that? And what can you actually tell some of the listeners that we have on the show that don't necessarily know about the Fair Pay for Play Act?
Yeah, so first off, obviously great to be with you guys. Love being with you guys. But in terms of the Fair Play to Play Act, so here's kind of my thing. So I think you have two questions. The first question is, do you think that college athletes should be able to capitalize on name, image, and likeness? I am a firm yes on that, and I have been for a long time. The next question is, how do you do it? How do you go about doing that in a way that makes sense? I think the spirit of the California law is right, but the fact that it's just one state is not, because what you're going to have now is you're going to have athletes, you're going to have athletes sitting there trying to figure out where they want to go to school based on the state law in place. That is going to complicate a lot of things. So what I'm working on at the federal level is a federal law that says, here's the rules of the road for the entire country. Now, no matter what state you're in, here's what you're able to do. And I think that's ultimately going to create the certainty that you want, but also hopefully have some appropriate guardrails in place to make sure that there's not all kinds of crazy stuff happening, as we know would probably happen.
Now, do you think out in California, do you think they did this thing just to kind of get the ball rolling everywhere else? Or do you think they just wanted to be the first to do it and get it out there, even if it wasn't ideally put together?
So California lately has had a history of enacting big pieces of legislation and trying to force the federal government to move in a particular direction because they're such a big state. And so I think that, and I don't know this, but my guess is that the strategy there was, let's put our bill forward and this will force the NCAA and every other state to figure out what they want to do with it. And so in that sense, I think it worked, because you're seeing now state houses all over the country who are starting to talk about this for the first time in a serious way.
Well, why do you think it's taking so long to kind of get to this point to where we are, you know, taking steps, not only with the NCAA, because I'm sure they're going to come in and come up with some type of rules to kind of, you know, set their standards so they can kind of be in control and govern it. But why do you think it's taking so long for everybody else to kind of jump on board with this thing and decide to figure out, okay, all right, universities are making billions of dollars. The NCAA is making so much money. Let's figure out a way to compensate these guys in a fair way to where it doesn't look like we're just essentially riding a wave of these guys and their athletic ability.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to answer that question. I'm not sure. I feel like society has come to a point where when you present the facts and people understand how much money is in and around different programs, they go, wow, why aren't the players able to use their own name to promote themselves? I mean, that's ultimately what this is. And I think that's important too. You know, what we're not moving towards, or what I don't think would be even a good outcome, is if players all of a sudden became employees of the university and then you're hiring and firing players and all that. I think that would be a horrible outcome.
I'm with you.
Basically just like the NFL. But I think a good outcome is to say, okay, it's your name, it's your image, it's your likeness. If you want to go do something at a pizza shop, or you want to, you know, go do something on campus and make a few extra dollars, I think that makes perfect sense. And I think most people in this country do. And then the last thing I'll say is everybody's thinking about college football and college basketball, and those are the big money generating sports. I hear that. But I actually think this will be just as good for the field hockey player and the swimmer and a D2 athlete, because now, you know, they'll be able to integrate into the community and maybe teach a swim class or give a motivational speech or whatever it is, right? They'll be able to make just a couple extra dollars so that you can, you know, you're broke in college. You can literally just buy food and go on a date if you want to.
Gonzo, I mean, I really wish that this was in effect when I was in school. I mean, obviously, you know, I went through this whole stage where I was suspended for 6 games, man. I mean, when you look at this, I mean, how do you see this helping the kids, and what bad effect do you see happen if this does go through?
Well, so on the positive side is kind of what I said. I just think I think what'll end up happening is you'll see, if it's done correctly, I think what you'll end up seeing is folks will just have a little bit of extra spending money. Right. I don't think you're going to see, you know, the millionaire college athlete necessarily. Maybe one or two people every couple years. But let's be honest, especially us, you know, we're wearing helmets. The marketing opportunities aren't as robust for the college athlete, I don't believe. I think it'll be, you know, you'll see some money coming into it. And that's good. Where I think it could be bad is if you don't have some guardrails in place to make sure that the people who want to do business with the athletes are good people, reputable people, legal businesses that are not trying to take advantage of guys. If you don't have those guardrails in place, I think it could get off the rails pretty quickly. And so I think you want to figure out, and that's the balance I'm trying to strike. You want to figure out what are those guardrails. And that's where I know Gene Smith is working on this a lot. He's leading the NCAA's thinking on this, and I know that's something he's thinking about a lot, so I'm excited to see what he puts forward. I think he's doing it towards the end of the month, and then we'll go from there on our side to see what we can do at the federal level.
I'm excited about seeing Gene and, you know, his efforts as well throughout this whole initiative. You know, a lot of people kind of snarked at his comments and said, you know what, I'm not with the Fair Pay for Play Act in the way it's structured right now, but I don't think people really read between the lines, because what Gene was trying to say is this thing could be wide open like the Wild Wild West, and that's right. Something that you do not want in college
sports. I totally agree.
I did 100%, and people, for whatever reason, Gonzo, they could not understand what he was trying to say. And you know, I know Gene very well, as well as you. And Gene is one of the more fair individuals in the world of college sports, and I appreciate his efforts.
Absolutely.
One of the questions that I do have is, Do you think that this thing, if it does go into play, if the NCAA and everybody comes together and figures out a structure in place for these guys to be compensated based off their name and likeness, don't you think that this will kind of limit some of the things that we saw in the years past with guys getting in trouble, not necessarily with taking money, but maybe guys not acting out or, doing these crazy things that they do on campus and dorm rooms and just all the – the ignorant stuff that we see guys getting suspended for in college sports in general. Yes. Don't you think that would tidy it up a little bit because guys will now have something more to work towards outside of just winning the game?
Yeah, actually I do. And I think, so I don't know if you were going in this direction, but what I think it'll probably do is guys will start to think about the tweets they send and the posts they make and the pictures they take and all these things, right? Because they're going to know, okay, if I say something really stupid, for lack of a better term, all of a sudden that's gonna hurt me in the long run. And so I think in that sense it could help clean up some of the dialogue that we see and just make guys a little bit more thoughtful about the things they're putting out into the public space, which I think is important. Frankly, I think social media is awful, but I think you'd see some effects like that. And look, for me, I think a lot of the naysayers who are against it, I think it kind of comes down to a fundamental question for me, which is, do you trust the athlete to be able to handle this appropriately and to make good decisions for themselves? And for me and for the guys I played with and knowing the support systems we had at Ohio State and the great coaches and the mentorship we get from the athletic department and things like that, I believe we can do this. Mm-hmm. I really do. And so that's why I'm passionate about it, and I'm excited to be working on it right now.
Gonzo, man, we certainly appreciate your efforts, man. Now we're gonna change topics a little bit, man, because we want to dive in. Obviously, that's a huge topic, and I'm sure you've been bombarded with a bunch of different stations with it. So I want to give you a break from that, man. I want to talk about your thoughts on Ohio State and our receiving corps. Obviously, you're one of the greats to come through here. What are your thoughts on what Hartline is doing with that receiving core here at Ohio State in our pass game?
I think Hartline is doing an amazing job, and that's not a surprise, right? I mean, we played with him.
Right.
So, if you remember Hartline, right, big personality, that he's going to be a great recruiter right off the bat.
100%.
Which is probably the number one skill. So he can sit down in front of a kid, and he can sit down in front of their mother, their father, their grandparents, whatever, and sell the program and let them know, hey, look, I'm going to be here. I love this place, and I'm going to teach your kid how to play the game the right way. That means the world to a high school kid to know you have an NFL veteran who knows the position, who's going to be coaching you. So I think he's doing a great job there. And then you see the skill on the field. You see them getting better as players. And I'm so excited for him because I just think the sky's the limit. He'll go as far and as wide as he wants, but he's doing an awesome job, and the receivers are lucky to have him, and they're playing their butts off, which is great.
Yeah, they certainly are. I'd just like to get your thoughts on what you think about Ryan Day. Obviously, he's a first-year coach. I'm a head coach, and he's doing a great job right now with this team. What are your thoughts of, how you think he will, finish the rest of the season, or your thoughts on how he's turning this team around?
I try not to be biased, but obviously we are as former players.
Right.
But I think Ohio State looks like the best team in the country right now. I've watched some of the other games. I don't have as much time to watch sports as I'd like, but when I watch Alabama play, when I watch Clemson play, I think the Buckeyes are better than both of them right now.
Right.
And I give Ryan Day a lot of credit. I've not met him personally, but boy, does he have that team playing well.
Yes, he does.
And he seems to have picked up right where Urban left off. So I'm excited for the Buckeyes. I think this is a great team.
Gonzo, you mentioned you don't have much time to watch sports and games. What's that transition been like for you? To be done with football, to say, I'm going to go back to school. You go back to school. I think you work for some time, and then you're all of a sudden, you jump in a race, a political race, and then you become a congressman. Talk about that. And that, that had to be a 360-degree shift from where you thought you were going to end up.
Yeah, my life has a way of turning in weird directions, I guess. But to answer the question, I'm somebody who believes that anything you want to pursue in life has a certain set of foundational fundamentals that are going to determine whether you're successful or not. And I kind of learned that in football, right? We all work on our fundamentals, and if you're big, strong, and fast, great, but really you got to master the fundamentals. That's how I approach business, and that's how I approach politics and running a congressional race. And so even though the activities are completely different, I always try to go back to that base for me and what is that, and just work on those things. And so far it's worked out well, but politics is a crazy, crazy game. More violent and vicious than football, I will tell you that.
Man, I could imagine, man. It's, you know, obviously I follow a little bit of politics, but I really don't understand, you know, the right from the left, essentially. You know, we're talking about it. You talk about, you know, the Republicans on one end, you talk about the Democrats on one end. I mean, it's like, hey, everybody's trying to do something right for the country. So let's get this thing figured out at some point.
Yeah, you would think. Hope.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. No, but man.
It's crazy.
I could only imagine the stress and the things that you go through and the things that you kind of hear and see on a day-to-day basis. So when you say it's tougher than football, 100%, because you're dealing with something that is real life. You know, football for a lot of us is a release. It's a takeaway. You know, and you're dealing with, you know, making laws and getting things passed and putting things into play, man, for the better of the world, guys. So we appreciate you, man. Yes,
sir. I appreciate that, and you know, I was somebody who, you know, I've always been a Republican, a conservative, but I thought to myself, you know what, I want to do this differently. I'm just going to approach these issues as I see them through my lens and using my experiences and trying to move the country into a better place. Because I'm like, I've watched on television go, what on earth is this? I mean, I don't even recognize this. And the arguments that we have and the things we talk about. And frankly, I think football has a lot to teach Congress with respect to how to work together with people from all different backgrounds, mm-hmm. Who have had different life experiences, and to find common objectives to move the country forward. If the U.S. Congress had the camaraderie and the culture that the Ohio State locker room did, or the Indianapolis Colts locker room, or the Arizona Cardinals locker room, we would be in a much, much better place as a country. I believe that.
Oh, man, you hit the nail on the head, guys. Yeah, you've, and that's why, seriously, that's why I love that you're in a position that you're in, because I know, I can sit in this chair and know that Anthony Gonzalez has seen it from every which walk of life, so I know he's going to do a hell of a job. He's going to give a perspective from all those different walks that he's seen, man. So that's something that I definitely value and appreciate you being in that spot, and I'm comfortable saying, that's my boy. Yeah. I know him, and I know he's doing a hell of a job. Yeah. Before we get you out of here, guys, I want to talk about the NFL CBA. We know that's going to be coming up here soon. We know that you were a part of that a couple of years ago as being one of the head of the Players Association for your team. Yep. What's your thoughts on things that we need to get right this go-round that the NFL didn't get – or that the players, essentially, didn't get it right the last term?
You know, that's a great question. I'll be honest. I haven't put as much thought into that specifically, but I'll tell you what has always been the top concern for me, and that's player health and wellness. And player safety once folks leave the game. When you're in the game, you know, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about when you're in the game and you're playing, right? But as folks transition out and go into the, you know, the traditional working world, what are we doing about healthcare? What are we doing to make sure that guys can still, you know, afford to pay for those bills that are going to pile up as a result of your NFL playing days? I mean, I have issues today. I will definitely need both my hips replaced and probably my knee. And so, you know, and we're all in the same boat. And so, you know, what are we doing to kind of make sure we're aware of that reality? I always think that's important. And then, you know, like I said, the kind of internal struggles on day-to-day NFL life. I don't know that I have as strong of opinions on that because I just been away from it for so long. But as a former player, I would like to see always more progress on health and welfare issues.
100% agree with you, man. Guys, man, we appreciate you coming on, taking the time out your day, man. Thank you, as always, and I appreciate everything you're doing there in Congress.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
Yes, sir.
You too.
That was good insight, man. Gonzo is one of those guys, bro. I would not be surprised, and I don't even know if he has these goals or, you know, expectations of his career. I would not be surprised if Gonzo was a guy at some point that would just go run for president, and bro, not only just run, but win. And you can sit here and talk about, you know, the Democrats and the hell with all of that shit. When you talk about a good person that's gonna give you every which way
and then seen
in
it
every
all.
Different perspective.
Yeah.
Bro, just for me to actually know him and know where he is, that's a guy that I can see in that position, man. So, Gonzo, we appreciate that.
That was great talking to him, man, because like you just said, man, he's a great human being,
right,
man.
Straight up.
A great person, man. And to be able to have a conversation with a guy like him, man, is great, man.
All right, that's enough Slipper Gonzo, man. Let's all right. Let's dive into this thing, man.
Hey, he's stupid, bro.
No, man, but boom, man. What'd you think of last week, man? Let's talk about last week's game.
Bro, I told everybody, even when what was our guy's name we had on last week? The Nebraska guy. So, listen.
It was from Husker Max. Husker Max.
Our guy from Husker Max.
Yeah.
He tried to tell us, which is, we knew it was going to be
he didn't feel confident in it. I mean, you can look
He didn't feel
answer.
Confident, but he was like, you know, he felt like it was going to be a fight for.
He knew it wasn't going to be a fight, but he knew that. He knew it wasn't going to be a fight. What he said was, I can't go against my guys, so I have to bet with them. But he knew, you could hear in his tone and the answer that he was giving, he knew they was going to get ass kicked.
But it was people, more so our haters, you know. They like, you know, you guys finally going on a roll. You going into a hostile place. I'm like, man, we just about to kick they ass, man. this is like, it's about to be like the rest of the season, man. Like, how it's been going. And what did I see in the game? I seen us control the football game. I seen our defense. They're elevating it every week, it seemed like. I mean, you have the leader of Chase Young who's disturbing every defense offensive line that he goes up against. And it's just crazy. I mean, you got two running backs that's doing their thing. Justin Fields is killing in all cylinders. You got all these receivers. It's just crazy to me because we got so much talent on this team, man, that you never know who's going to be that guy that's going to have that breakout game. You don't know who that guy's going to be that's going to make that big play because it's like, dang, we got tight ends. We got receivers. We got running backs. You know, JK can have a bad game, and Master going to come in and he going
to – JK ain't having no more bad game.
No, I ain't saying he going to – No, I'm saying
– Right, if you turn – I got you.
I'm saying –
Playing devil's advocate.
This is the type of talent that we have. Like, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, you might have a slow start. Shoot. Magic T might come in and break a long run. Mm-hmm. So you know what that's gonna do? That's gonna motivate.
100%.
It used to be the same thing with me and you, honestly. I mean for me at least, because I knew you was gonna ball, so I knew I had the ball. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I'm just excited, man, for what this team has done so far. And I'm tired of people saying that, you know, oh, y'all ain't played nobody, y'all ain't did this, you ain't did that. Bro, who have y'all played? Who have y'all beat? You know what I'm saying? You talk about all these teams. Who the heck has Alabama played?
Nobody.
Clemson almost lost last week to freaking North Carolina.
Should have lost, yes.
Should have lost. You know, which is, you know, I got to respect their coach for going for the two.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know.
Mac Brown, you had no – I mean, when you look back at North Carolina, I think they're like 0-26 versus either top five or top 10 opponents. And that's school history. 0-26 when you're playing somebody that high.
Man.
Like, you got no choice but to go for two. What do you have to lose?
I tell you what, them boys came to play that game. Because, I mean, even though I know teams are going to have those games where they're not at their top of their, you know, top of their game. But North Carolina came to play that game. And Clemson really should have lost that game. I mean, you look at Georgia. I think I was just asking you about Georgia before we got the show going.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I haven't seen –
versus Notre Dame, that was a hell of a game by both of those teams.
Yeah.
But I'm never a true believer in Notre Dame anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that really says much when I watched them and they, you know, they won the game, but it was a fight, essentially.
At the end of the day, it's Notre Dame. I'm sorry. I mean,
I'm with you, man. I don't believe in Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, honestly, I don't really believe in Georgia like that, to be honest with you.
I don't know if I can say that 100%.
I'm not going to say – no, what I'm saying is I think, you know, with their schedule, which I'm not saying that they have a top schedule, but, you know, in the SEC, somebody going to knock them off.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a game where they might not play well or whatever. Then you have us – I mean, top four teams I think right now is Alabama, Clemson, Georgia – and us, and then right after us is LSU. I love where they have us at right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want us to be number one or number two.
I don't even know where we are. Where are we?
We are number four right now.
Number four, okay.
So I like that because if we were if we were to go into playoffs today, we would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't even think that shit matters at this point in time when we're looking at it. That's why I don't really pay attention to AP voting and stuff no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But still, they're putting some respect on what we're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what I like right now.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a choice but to pay respect to what we're doing when you watch them play. Like you said, when you look at the other teams around here, Alabama hasn't played anybody. Georgia played. Notre Dame. LSU's played Texas, but that was a pretty good game down the stretch when Texas came back. Obviously, LSU goes on to win that game. They have three teams within that conference that you can probably say, all right, you know what, if this thing did boil all the way down right now and, you know, you got a one-loss SEC, okay, maybe we could see a two SEC or a one-loss SEC team and then the undefeated SEC team in the college football playoff. But when I look at Ohio State and I stack up what I see from those other schools, we're better at every position. They may have the one-off wide receiver that's so far and beyond better, but I'm talking about depth. We got the depth at the running back spot. We have the depth at the receiver position. We got a quarterback. Obviously, we don't have the depth. We don't know what we have behind him because right. We haven't really seen it.
Well, I mean, we said on the flip side, we got enough.
On the flip side, you look at the defense and the defensive line, and we're getting guys back. We're getting Cooper back. I mean, we're getting guys back healthy that are going to be able to produce down the stretch. And when you look at this team, it's not just Chase Young that is running down and getting sacks. It's everybody, a collective effort on our defense that's allowing that to happen. We got so many damn playmakers, man. And the thing that I love, Boom, is especially on the defensive line, we're keeping them fresh.
Yeah, they rolling.
They rotate. They're keeping them fresh, man. Yeah. So stacking up against anybody in the country, I'll take Ohio State all day long until I see otherwise. And right now, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again, we are the best team in the country. And we haven't even began to open up anything. Listen to Jeff Hafley. When he spoke the other day in a press conference, he said defensively, we haven't even began to run nearly what we practice in a game yet. They even scratched the surface of that.
Because they ain't had to.
Exactly, man. And the one team that does scare me, and we sit here and talk about the SEC teams, but a team that does scare me legitimately is Wisconsin. And it's because they have that running game that they can line up and bow your ass over. And if we get in one of those fights, it could be scary. And because of the fact that our defensive line, I don't know if we built right now, essentially, to stop the run.
Hey.
We got a bunch of pass rushers out there. So that's why they scare me a little bit. But hey, go ahead.
I ain't going to lie. I ain't scared of it. And honestly, I say that because I feel like that's all Wisconsin really has is their running
game.
Shit,
that's a lot. I mean,
I get what you're saying. But
you're about,
listen.
You know, but everybody listen, on their line is probably going to be drafted this year.
Yeah, but to a point where I don't want to say this word, but we ain't no bees. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
like
Mama soon, ain't raised hey, no hope.
Sooner than later, you know what I'm saying? Okay, Buddy might pop off one. He might pop off two. But you ain't about to just keep hitting us in the mouth. They gonna start blitzing. They gonna start doing something
God.
You know what I'm saying? And honestly, I feel like they gonna have to show us something. I mean, they been doing their thing. Wisconsin's been doing their thing. And let's not move ahead too fast because we still got to take care of Michigan State this
right.
week. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a big game.
It's a big game.
Because it's Michigan State.
Because we have lost to Michigan State. A couple times.
I mean, you go back and look at in years past. Yeah. I mean, you look at teams that have ruined Ohio State's chances to get to the national championship.
That's what I'm talking about. So
we had the 2015 situation, and then we had the 1998 situation. Those are two games distinctively that I remember. There were situations within that game which we could have rectified. But you know why? I already mentioned why I ain't scared because of Ryan Day in this situation.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I just think we have the team to get the job done
right.
this year, to get in the playoffs, and you know whatever happens after that is gonna happen. But I just feel like I'm very, 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 very confident in Coach Day, and I really love some of the things that he's kind of been saying because he like you know he don't want to go to that number one spot, that number two spot. He want everybody to keep that same energy
mm-hmm.
that y'all had when Urban Meyer left. That same energy when Urban went near the first three games of the year last year,
mm-hmm.
he wanted to keep that same energy, and we just going to keep on doing what we doing. And I love that in him because it's like, man, Coach, they got that dog in him, bro. Like, he hostile, you know right. what I'm saying? Like, he about that action, boss.
So I got a question I got to ask him. And Will, you're going to have to chime in. Spence, you're going to have to chime in. Boom, I'm going to ask you first, man. Looking at Chase Young and looking at where he's on pace and what he's on pace to do, is he the best defensive lineman right now to come through Ohio State in, let's say, 15 years? Give me your answer. Yes, no. Yes, no. if not, you give me somebody that you think is better.
Yes.
Yes. Spencer saying yes.
Yes.
Will, you can yell it. Yell it if you don't want to get on the mic. What do you think?
Yes.
Boom.
Just trying to think of who else.
Right. You go with the, you go with the Bosas. Only, you go with Cam Hayward. You go with Vernon Golston.
But
Will,
but,
Smith.
But you look at.
Give me your answer first.
Yes.
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 All right.
And I say that because there were some games. All those guys were great. You know, there were some games. The Bosa brothers, they didn't have a sack.
Hmm.
This man has had not one, 1.5, 2 sacks every game this year, which is, and I don't know if you guys know this, but Michigan State has 4 of their linemen that are hurt for this week's game. I don't know where I got the information. I think my brother might have gave me some inside scoop.
Inside scoop.
Yeah. So I expect Chase to have – I'm just going to call it how it is. He probably going to have 3 sacks this game.
3 sacks. Ooh.
With the all-black uniforms.
Are they wearing all black?
All black. Ooh, it's night game.
Blackout.
It's blackout. So that's – and can I give you my final score, what I think the score is going to be?
Well, hold on. We ain't got that for you. We're talking about Chase Young. Damn,
my bad.
Slow up.
You got me hyped, bro.
The thing about Chase Young is – you'll watch a play, and the second the ball snapped, Chase is getting a sack. It was never like that with the Bosas. Like, right. The Bosas would just physically dominate you for 4 seconds, mm-hmm. and if you held onto the ball too long, you were getting punished.
Right.
Chase Young can get there in like 2.5 seconds, and you can be throwing a screen pass, and he's still going to impact it because right when the ball is snapped, you can see it from the press box because we're right looking down on the players.
Right.
But everybody in the building knows exactly what play Chase Young is going to get a sack on.
You know who Chase is going to be, man? And I believe that he will have this pro career.
Javon Curse?
No. Somebody better. I mean, I'm going to say somebody better. Yeah, Julius Peppers. That's who he reminds me of.
Mm.
Big, yeah. Athletic, looks like a basketball player. Obviously, Peppers was a basketball player. But can get off the ball, like you said, Spence, so quick, get to the backfield. It's just unblockable. And I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be the number one overall pick. And if it ever got to a situation to where he was banged up and we were out of contention for a national championship, what's your thoughts on him shutting it down? How would you feel in that situation?
Me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he just all of a sudden just we lost the game or you knew we wasn't going to get a chance to go to the national championship and he said, you know what, I'm shutting it down. Are you going to feel the same way? Or I don't even know how you felt with Nick Bosa last year. Answer the question, man. Yeah, let me read the notepad.
How would I feel? You can't be mad at him if he sat it down. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that situation, you know you're going to be the number one pick.
You can't be mad. I mean, Bosa did it last year. I mean, guys are doing that now.
Right.
And that's why, you know, this rule that we're talking about with Gonzo, it may have a thing. It may not have an effect with that, but
– I don't think it'll have an effect on that.
It ain't going to have an effect on that, but I'm just thinking about money right now. I'm sorry.
Right.
I apologize. But go ahead.
So Chase is a captain, and Nick Bosa was a captain. But the difference is, and Berman Austin talked about this a lot mm-hmm. in the preseason, Chase came to Ohio State, and you thought, okay, he's going to be a 3-year guy, and he's just going to get to the NFL, and he's using Ohio State as like, you know.
Stepping stone, right.
Yes, a stepping stone to get to the NFL. Chase has completely bought into the Ohio State traditions, the culture, the brotherhood, so to speak, and like he is 100% in, you know, he's a Buckeye for life. And he's one of those guys where nobody really thought that was going to happen because they thought he was going to use it as a stepping stone.
Right.
I could never see him.
You couldn't see him just sitting down.
Not playing. I think there's too strong of a culture at Ohio State for guys to be doing that for like a playoff. Now, if it's like the Cotton Bowl, like with Denzel Ward, I mean, nobody really blamed Denzel Ward for sitting out of the Cotton Bowl.
Exactly.
Because you're playing USC for a trophy and some confetti.
But regular season, he's not going to shut it down.
Yeah, no.
So I'm right there with you, man. I wouldn't blame him if he decided to. I wouldn't be upset with him. But I certainly wouldn't be, I wouldn't expect it from him, essentially, especially if we're still in contention. Will just threw over this crazy-ass damn – and he did this shit to be funny. And I'm going to say it on air, well – He said, rank the players. Rank these players from the Baltimore, D.C. area. And obviously, you know Ohio State recruits that area pretty heavily. So, and I want you guys to chime in. And on the comments, I want you to rank these players and talk shit to Will for coming up with this list.
What the?
So, the players. Dwayne Haskins. Rank him. Chase Young. And Stan White Jr. For those of you who do not, I hope Stan isn't watching this shit. Stan, you're a good dude. And this is Will's fault. Stan White was the fullback here my freshman year, man.
No disrespect to Stan.
No disrespect to Stan. Stan is cool about it, too. I'm sure he'd be just laughing his ass off right now if he listens to this episode.
Good one. Hey.
But, man, that was a real good one, man. But give me somebody else because I really do want to rank those. Who else is from the Baltimore, D.C. area? Sean Springs, yeah, yeah. Sean Springs is all-time great. Off the top of your head, rank those in order. Dwayne Haskins, Sean Springs, and Chase Young.
I would probably say Haskins.
All right.
Chase Young and Sean Springs.
Damn. See, I'm going to put Chase Young, Sean Springs, then Haskins as my third guy.
Okay. I mean, honestly.
And then that's crazy. We're ranking Chase Young, and his last year is even halfway over yet.
Yeah. But we just know the potential.
Right.
I think.
And then hell is already his impact, man. This dude is a beast. He's probably going to win just about every major college football award defensively.
He should.
Yeah, 100%, man.
He should.
100%. But
he should.
This weekend, obviously, boom, you know, we play Michigan State. You're going to that game. But I want you to talk about to the fans that don't know. Talk about your brother in that situation a little bit because your brother played linebacker at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I remember my freshman year, I fumbled in the game versus Michigan State, and it was because of Dave's ass, man. Dave popped the ball out, man. I fumbled. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, man, talk about how that was for you growing up and being in high school when your brother is starting linebacker for Michigan State. I'm sure – or was there – any point in time to where you say, you know what, man, maybe I ought to go to Michigan State. This is where my brother is. So, I know his friends. I'm comfortable.
All right. Let me break this down for y'all. So, you know, obviously Dave, he went to Michigan State. And I was – his freshman year was my – I was in eighth grade. So I used to be up at Michigan State all the time. Mm-hmm. So for summer breaks, we used to go down to Michigan State.
Right.
And I stayed down in the whole summer. So I used to always be in all the facilities. But at the time Dave was there, Michigan State freaking sucked.
They had John L. Smith.
They had John L. Smith, which is a lot of people don't know this, but Dave was played fullback in high school, and he went to Michigan State as a fullback because he was Claret's fullback in high school. So he goes to Michigan State. John L. Smith comes in and tells Dave, the coach asked him, what position you play? He said, I play fullback. He said, not no more. You play linebacker now.
It was just like that.
Just like that. So
probably worked out for the better. Nobody wants to be a fullback anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a glory position.
I mean, back then, it was still kind of popping, but nah, nobody uses fullback no more. So, you know, he goes through this stage like, you know, should I transfer? You know, should I stay? He stuck it out. You know, I used to go to all the games.
How many years did he start? How many years were he started there?
A three-year starter.
Oh shit! I mean, yeah. He stuck it out for a good reason.
Yeah, yeah. He stuck it out for a good reason. It played out well for him. He was able to play. He didn't get drafted, but he played the next level for 6 years. So it kind of all played well. But me growing up as a kid, you know, going to all these Michigan State games and being around the school and everything, it was funny because when I used to go to everything, I used to go to the girls' basketball practices, the boys' basketball practices. So I used to be around like –
why?
Huh?
Why?
Because I was there during the summer and like, you know, he'd go work out or something and the basketball team be there. I'd go over there and be kicking it with the basketball team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was good times though. But I remember everybody telling me like, man, don't come here. Don't come here. Don't come here. So I'm like, all right. So I'm saying that they're losing. But Dave not saying nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once I start getting my freshman year, I ended up playing varsity my freshman year. So I start getting some looks. You know, I got my first scholarship when I was a freaking sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan State came early with the offer.
Right.
Like my sophomore year. And I was like, after everybody telling me, like, don't come here, I kind of just I ain't think about going there.
Oh, so it wasn't even, not even a thought then?
It wasn't even, it really wasn't a thought.
Okay. I would have thought because your brother went there that obviously you wanted to go follow his footsteps. But what was it like, all right, once you're at Ohio State and now Dave obviously, you know, he's an alum there. I mean, was it that, or not even that at that point? So, I'm sure he was rooting for your success.
Was we bumping heads?
Yeah, that's what I was ready to get to.
Let me tell you this, bro. So,
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I tell people all the time, you know, obviously he went to Michigan State, so I always root for Michigan State, even now,
right,
unless they're playing Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we definitely hate the other school.
Right, but you got the family ties there.
Exactly. I got family ties there, too, so that's crazy. But, so Dave always rooted for me when I played, you know, when I played at Ohio State. He used to wear jerseys and everything. So, have we ever bumped heads? Hell yeah. It's funny, like, it's funny because we got into a real bad argument this one time, man. We was both at home. I think it was for a holiday or something. And I think Michigan State had just beat us. It was a year. It might have been one of the years Michigan State had just beat us. I'm like, man, that's some BS, man. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. So we get into this argument. I'm like, it got kind of personal. I said, only dudes that go to Michigan State is the cats that can't go to Ohio State. I went there with him on it. But it was funny because
I know he felt that, though. That probably hit him a different way.
But thing was, he had the opportunity to go to Ohio State.
Oh, did he?
They offered him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, but.
Hold on. Slow down. You gotta get him. How in the hell do they offer him and he decides to go to Michigan State?
It was kind of like, I don't know if you know about the kid, Lynn Bowden.
No.
That's at Kentucky right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ohio State offered Lynn on the day of signing day, basically.
Oh, so they offered him late.
Yeah, so Ohio State did the same thing with Dave. They offered him late. It was like a week before signing day or something like that. So, he was like,
I don't get that shit. I don't care if I get offered late by Ohio State. They offered me.
Same. But he had built a good relationship with the head coach. And yeah, I mean, you know how it is. When you're young, right, you don't know no better. You know? Right. Growing up as a kid, I mean, I don't tell a lot of people, but, you know, I used to root for the team from up north because all my family members went there.
Right.
So, in my mind, we had a pipeline of kids going there. So, I was like, as a kid, I'm like,
that's where you are.
I'm going. That's right, where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. I grew up, my brain started growing some more, developing. You know, I understood the business side of it and how big this university is. Man.
It's a no-brainer from that point on.
It's a no-brainer. But me and Dave have definitely bumped heads, and he was actually going to come to the game. He's like, man, I ain't coming to that game, man. Y'all about to destroy us. So,
it's going to get ugly, so, man. I don't see them having – a chance in hell to beat Ohio State this weekend. It's a night game. It's going to be riled up.
It's going to be riled up. We're going to have the all black on.
Exactly. There's no way, man. So.
And another thing, I've seen a couple of Michigans. I haven't really seen the game, but I didn't see, like, you know, a couple plays, whatever. They haven't played well this year.
No.
They're struggling this year. It was their homecoming game last week, and they just barely beat Indiana.
Right.
At home. So, hey, which is I'm look. I know you gotta play the game still, and you can't hatch the eggs before, you know, whatever that the whole saying, that how that goes.
Never heard that one all the way.
But yeah. No, you ain't never heard of that.
Can't hatch the eggs.
The saying about don't hatch the eggs before they done growing or something like that. You ever heard that one before?
No, shit, they still eggs.
Don't worry about it.
Eat them.
Whatever. Yeah.
Say it again. Oh, don't count the chickens.
Yeah, something like that.
He said eggs. I'm like, shit, what the fuck are you doing with me? I mean, I don't want the eggs, right, but I want to eat them.
Yeah. So what's your score projection?
I think Ohio State wins this thing by at least four touchdowns. At least.
You got to give me an actual score.
I don't have a score. I just know we're going to win by at least four touchdowns, whatever it is.
I'm saying we're going to win 42-6.
42-6.
They're not going to score a touchdown. They're going to kick two field goals.
All right. I like that. Real quick, man, we'll bet DSI. Spence, do you have our bets from last week? Let's let him get on his headgear a little bit and kind of give us, let's see how we did. Well, I think I already know how I did because I already collected nonetheless. But obviously, you go to betdsi.com, use promo code Beanie100. You bet fast, nice, quick, and easy. You get paid very quickly as well. Spence, break it down for us.
All right. You guys both took Ohio State -17.5. So go 1-0 on that.
Cash money.
There you go. You both lost on the Rutgers bet, +27.
Hold up.
Told you.
Did you take a Michigan -27.5?
Yes.
You took Rutgers plus
absolutely.
And you lost.
We talked about that. Yeah.
It's a boom loss.
Yes.
All right, so Beanie wins there. Beanie, you took Alabama -37. Boom, you took Ole Miss +37. So, I don't know. I didn't remember the final score of that one, but that was your game pick.
Hold on. We're going to have to pull that up.
But while you're pulling that up, you both did take Penn State straight up against Maryland, and woo. That one got out of hand quickly.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, that's another team.
Penn State?
They playing good, man.
Your bets weren't bad. Alabama won by 28 points. Boom wins.
Yeah. We won the total between you and I, but nonetheless.
So, basically broke even.
You guys both went 3-1.
Yeah.
And just missed different games. So.
Yeah. Hey, cash money.
you got games for me this week?
Not yet. I'm going to we're going to rattle off that list here. Matter of fact, you give us the games, the biggest games.
You want the best games, and I'll
the
just
best games. Yep. Yeah. That's what we'll do. Yeah. But always remember at betdsi.com,
Beanie100
promo code Beanie100. Bet quick, get your money quick. But what was I getting ready to get to, man? I was getting ready to dive in. You mentioned Penn State. That's what you mentioned.
Yeah.
Penn State is a solid team this year.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they possess.
I'm not saying they're gonna do anything.
Yeah.
Is that game home this year?
Yeah, I think it is a home game. Yep. Penn State, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin home too. So,
yeah.
I think we just play. It's crazy because we've been playing great on the road too. So it's not one of those things where it's like, all right, we play great at home, we play all right on the road. Man, we've been playing great both
right.
ways.
I think we're in good shape, man. Yeah. I'm not worried versus anybody but Wisconsin. That's the only thing that worries me. Diving in on NFL, man. What's been the biggest? No, I'm gonna ask you what's been the biggest story. I know what has been the biggest story. That's the Vontaze Burfict shit. Mm-hmm. Vontaze Burfict, the dude, year after year, time after time, is getting fined, getting suspended, and he still hasn't learned. Because what does he do? In a game last week, he goes head first at a defenseless receiver.
Hey,
like, why?
He didn't just go ahead for it. He launched, too. The whole body. He did the Superman.
Bro, shit like that, I really can't understand as to why you would want to do that. I get, you know, trying to make a big play, be an impact player, and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, you know this guy is doing this for his livelihood. You're trying to do it for your livelihood. Do you not give a fuck about what's going to happen to your head with you doing all this dumb shit?
Man,
Not just the damage you caused on somebody else, but yourself.
I think Avantes, that's actually one of my guys, man. We came in together in mm-hmm. Cincy, so I've known the guy. He's a great guy, man, off the field, and I think he's just in the wrong era of the time of he's
wrong
playing.
Era. Like, come on,
back in the day,
wrong
bro.
Era. I mean, you got to get it at some point. I think at this point you just don't care.
Is he wrong? Yeah, I mean, of course he's wrong.
Like, it's been countless times where we've talked about this. We know what era we're in. I mean, Vontaze is what, his eighth, ninth year?
Ninth.
Like, bro, like, why are you still doing this shit? And the question is, should he be suspended? They suspend him for the rest of the year.
For life.
Should he be suspended for the rest of the year? But what do you think?
Honestly, I think that's a little crucial. I think he should get some games. He should get probably like 6 or 8 games. But to suspend a guy for the whole year.
Right.
That's kind of crazy. And for the people that say that he needs to be banned for forever, mm-hmm. that's even more dramatic.
Why just demolish his cup
and right crazy
now. Off topic. But
but honestly, I think you find him a big fine. Find him $100,000.
Shit, missing the rest of the year. I mean, I'm imagining you're not getting paid.
Oh, that's he's probably losing out on a couple $1 million.
Yeah, I'm not with spending a guy for an entire season, but. I mean, you got to send him a message. I don't know which other way you send him a message than doing that, though. That's the crazy thing. It's like, man, how much stupid can you be when we already sit here and we were just talking to Gonzo? What's the number one thing that he wants to happen out of the CBA? That's long-term health care. Yeah. We've been talking about that for year after year after year, and you still do stupid shit.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. See, I think it's excessive, but I just don't know what other way you kind of get to him. So, I mean, I'm in that middle ground right there. I don't know what else it is you can do to get across to this guy that you're not going to be bigger than what we're trying to do in terms of protecting these players.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at, man. Well,
speaking of long term, man, I don't know if you've seen this, but Frank Gore just passed 15,000 yards rushing. I think he's in his
Frankie G
14th year.
Somewhere in there.
14, 15, something like that. Yeah. How crazy is that, man?
Bro, to be in this day and age, to be a running back and to be able to, you know, reach 9 years, let alone 14 years, is amazing. But then to do it with the consistency that Frank Gore has done it with year after year. We're talking about him being a bell cow back. It's not like he's going somewhere and been the second-tier guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they moved Shady McCoy out because of something that they seen from Frank Gore that said, you know what, he's going to give us a better chance to win here in Buffalo.
I'll tell you what. I play with both of those guys, and they're both great teammates.
Both of them might be Hall of Famers too.
Oh, facts. But the way Frank Gore works, bro, mm-hmm. and goes to practice and puts that work in, man.
Is he practicing like, hard?
What? Whole sweatsuits on, the whole, like, going to get it, bro.
Right.
And he wants the reps. Mm-hmm. Like, Frank, bro, you – right. Bro, let me get some reps, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that guy's work ethic is – out the roof, man. And Shady's the same way, man.
The Shady worker? Is he a worker?
Yeah, he's a worker.
That's what's up. That's good to hear.
He's a guy who take care of his body. He has fun playing the game, man. Mm-hmm. He enjoys playing the game. That's why he's in his, 12 years. And I think he's about to come up on 12,000 rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, shout out to both of those cats, man. It's just – you know, talk about – I mean, I heard you say something about, you know, the livelihood after football. But just like, man, to see a guy like that play for that long, man, that's crazy. I want to jump into another guy I play with, Percy Harvin, man.
Percy. Percy was – I met Percy in high school.
Yeah.
We met recruiting somewhere, and then we met again down at the Army All-American game. That's where we became tight, man. Percy's a good dude.
Great dude.
Phenomenal athlete.
Oh, man.
Super quiet, super chill, but a straight-up baller.
Yeah.
Straight-up baller.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about this, though, man. He's a guy who came out.
It was on Bleacher Report. I don't know if you guys saw it on Bleacher Report.
He's a guy that came out and said that he has never – he made sure everybody
– right, put an emphasis on that.
Emphasis. I've never been in a football game and was not high.
But was that surprising to you? You played with it. Was it surprising?
It was a little bit.
Yeah?
I mean.
Is it surprising for him or is it surprising that an athlete
It wasn't surprising as in, oh, that's terrible.
Right.
It was surprising because it was like, you know, when you hide, man, it's kind of hard to focus, manage. I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
We're rising in Dallas before.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I've never been high before in my life.
Right,
I'm not a smoker, but I've been high at some point in my life.
Yeah. But to hear him say that, man, it was, I wouldn't say it was shocking, but he had a lot going on.
Right.
With the headaches and the migraines and stuff like that, and anxiety, depression. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that he was on, like, you know, 7 different medicines, and they weren't really helping him.
Mm-hmm.
But he would smoke trees, smoke weed, and it would help him out.
Right.
You know, that's big time.
Yeah, I think the more shocking thing was that you had an athlete coming out and speaking out about it.
But you know what? The more guys that retire, you hear them speaking on it.
Right. And you know, when you got guys of his magnitude, of his stature, that were as good as he was, to sit here and say, you know what, it wasn't a game
right.
that I didn't play, that I wasn't high. I mean, I was high every game that I played. I mean, That's the glaring thing right there. And when you hear that, and then you go back and you look at Josh Gordon, some of his best years, that he's had in the National Football League, he came out in an interview and said, every game I was high.
Hey, I know he was punching the air when he seen that, though. Because it's like, this guy done pretty much lost half of his career off of suspensions because he been getting high.
Well, Josh Gordon, obviously it's a little bit different of a situation because –
yeah, he was on some other stuff. He was on some other stuff.
I don't care what you was on. You know, like I know. You know when that drug test for recreational drugs is coming up.
Everybody knows
that. So you're just being neglectful when you get caught in those situations. Right. Obviously, Percy Harvin knew, so he was able to, all right, let me chill out so I can get beyond this point.
Right.
But I think that was the more shocking thing out of that discussion with him and Bleacher Report. Or was it the most shocking thing? I think what the shocking thing was him coming out and talking about the day before the Super Bowl, he punches Golden Tate in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
And Golden Tate got a black eye right before they go, or a couple days before the Super Bowl, right before
pictures. It was 15 minutes before they took the pictures, and he had this black eye. And he said, if you look at the picture, everybody looking kind of like
right, it was pissed off in the picture.
Yeah, it was a problem. But he had another problem with another receiver, too. It was Baldwin or whatever.
Baldwin.
They had a whole thing going on. But it's crazy that these guys had all these problems, all these issues during Super Bowl, and then they go out and win the freaking Super Bowl.
They go out and win the Super Bowl.
But I guess right before the game, they had like
they cop deuces. But nonetheless, Percy probably could have very well won Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
With his performance in that game.
For sure.
He balled like a mug in that game, and that shit was just wild, man. Yeah. That was an interesting story. If you guys haven't seen it, go to bleacherreport.com and check it out because it's a really cool video that they got of Percy Harvin describing that situation and his little bit of time with the Seattle Seahawks and his time in the league. But I want to talk about these Browns, man.
I was just about to say, man, talk about your Brownies, man.
Dog pile. Yeah, Will, I'll see you over there. Holla at your boy.
They ain't on Bet DSI, but these boys got a real nice bet going on, man.
2-2.
Hey, real nice. What you need? Eight more games?
Yeah, man. No, I don't need eight more games. I need seven. Spence, you got to go back and check it out.
Yet?
Spence, you have yet to go back and check the tape. Man, seven games. Just, we'll try to say 10.
Make it eight, bro, because you know they're going to get eight.
No, I'm sorry, not seven. It was nine. It's nine games. But nonetheless, the Browns looked damn good last week. And you know why they look good? Because they
let Chubb run the ball.
The football.
Yeah.
And they weren't in a situation where they had Baker Mayfield staring down a receiver and trying to force in the ball like we've seen the past couple of weeks. That was reminiscent of last year where you didn't have Baker saying, you know what, let's go to this guy. No, you throw to the open guy. A lot of time, who was the open guy they threw the ball to? Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry, you get the ball in those short situations. And Jarvis Landry is a running back when he gets the ball in his hand. So all he needs is a 5-yard in, out, or a stop. And he can take it to this. He can do the rest of that.
Yeah.
But they ran the ball effectively. And Chubb is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
I mean, and he's one of those guys, if you let him get going, man, he gets better as he gets going. So I don't understand why, you know, maybe they get it now. Maybe they get it now and they're going to feed that man and he could ball out. But I know you can't talk about your Brownies. You got to talk about your boy, though.
Who?
OBJ getting choked out.
Oh, man, I saw that. I saw that. You know what?
His response was, man, I'm just mad because I lost my earring.
But I appreciated that, though, man. OBJ in that game did not let him not being the guy getting the targets, getting the yards affect him. He still went out there, blocked hard, played hard. He just didn't get the balls his way in that game. So I appreciated that, man. He didn't get the shit choked out of him, nonetheless. But the
thing is, it's going to be games like that where it's going to have to be Chubbs. It's going to have to be somebody else that steps up and play the big make the big play, because they might be keying on you that opening it up for Chubbs to make the big run.
Right.
Or whoever, you know. So, shout out to the Browns, man. How do you see them, you know, after that win, how do you see them going the rest of the year?
I mean, I always thought the Browns, even in the losses that they've had this year, I still thought there were some things in there to where you could see the potential. So, man, I think we're going to go ahead. We're going to win 10 games. We're going to go to the playoffs, and Will's going to be taking me to a steakhouse in Miami called Prime 112. And I'm going to order the biggest steak on the menu. That's probably a couple hundred dollars.
Ooh,
yeah, that's how I see it unfolding.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Hey, Will, I know that place is expensive, man. I've been there a couple of times. First time I ever went, I met Shaq. That's how you know it's big time.
Yeah. It's like Shaq. A who's who down there.
Yeah.
Spence, what do you got for us, man? Give us those big games in college football before we get out of here. And remember, we're going to make these bets at betdsi.com, and we're going to use promo code Beanie100. You're going to make your bets fast. You're going to get paid fast.
I mean, I'm talking about fast.
What we got, man?
All right, I got a non-Power 5 game for you guys.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, Nippert Stadium at night, big time. UCF on the road at UC. UCF a 4-point favorite.
Oh, man. UCF is a 4-point favorite.
At UC? Mm-hmm. Man, come on, man. They being disrespectful.
UCF has been very good, so I don't think it's disrespectful, but I'm taking UC at home.
Straight up or plus the 4?
Plus the 4. UC plus the 4. Because of Fickle, but UC has been playing good since they lost to Ohio State.
It is we.
Man, Fickle's our guy. I can say we.
Yeah.
I can. We've been playing good.
Honestly, that's tough because I forgot who UCF was.
Yeah.
They be popping teams, bro. I'm going to take UC because they at home. Yeah, I'm going to take a UC.
Straight up or plus 4?
Straight up.
Okay.
Straight up.
All right. We're going to go to who you guys call that team up north.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, 3.5-point favorite against Iowa.
I'm taking Iowa.
You're taking Iowa straight up plus 3.5?
I'm taking Iowa too, man. I do not believe in them. I know they're going to be motivated, but I don't believe in Michigan.
No. They're a ranked team. Iowa's a ranked team.
Yeah, I don't care whether they're ranked or not. I just don't believe in Michigan, nonetheless.
Me either, but his record against ranked teams
is
horrible.
So give me the points with Iowa. Who we got next?
Auburn, 3-point favorite on the road at Florida.
I'll take Auburn. Auburn's looked damn good this year. What's Florida's record?
You said it's at Florida?
Yeah, Florida's undefeated. Florida,
I believe, was undefeated, but I watched them in that game versus Miami in the beginning of the year. Oh
yeah, they got the backup quarterback, but it's kind of one of those things where is it really the backup quarterback?
Exactly. No, I don't think it's the backup quarterback. I don't think Florida's that good.
All right. Boom.
Is Auburn undefeated?
Yeah. It's top 10 matchup.
It's at Florida. I like, man, I'm going with Florida.
Go ahead and lose your money. I ain't losing mine.
All right, we're going to pick the Ohio State game last.
All right.
The other one I have is Pac-12 After Dark, Washington minus 16.5 against Stanford. Stanford's been real bad. Just
Washington them and give it to me.
I'll take
I like their coach, man. What's his coach? What's Boise State's guy's name?
Chris Peterson.
I like their coach. Yeah,
I'll take Washington.
All right. So you guys have one game that you guys disagree on, so you guys can fight about that as much as you want. And then I have a feeling I know what you guys are going to say about this Ohio State game, but Ohio State, it's actually at 21 now.
Dang. Yeah, I said they're going to win by 4 touchdowns. Yes, give me that all day long.
Yeah, give me that too. That's crazy. 21 points, bro.
21. one more thing real quick, man, before we get out of here. With the Fair Play Act, Pay for Play Act, you know what's really, you know, got my mind just, you know, going and thinking? Was California the first place to put this into play? Because the decline of college football in the state of California, if you think about it, think about the decline there on the West Coast. And there's no longer like those end-all, be-all teams to where you know every year UCLA is going to be good, Kyle's going to have a solid team. They've been shitty out there in California.
Everything.
They have even not USC. Been good. That's what I'm saying. UCLA, they've been very bad in the state of California. Spence, do you think that's one of the reasons why they were the first to jump on it, to try to, you know, sway
get some
recruits?
Well, it's not going into effect until 2023.
Right.
And the other thing I'll say
But I mean, just the thought of it, just to perk up in somebody's ears.
California has typically been, in the last 10 years, probably the most liberal and left-leaning state.
Right.
As far as, like, you know, some sort of way left ideas. And it is kind of more of a liberal idea to have college athletes make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, you know, it'd be easiest to get it through to pass in California. So maybe it has a little bit to do with the fact that their football hasn't been very good because it's been bad.
Right.
It's been real bad.
Yeah, I mean, just West Coast in general, man. West Coast football hasn't been great like it has been.
I mean, when you got the best players in L.A. going to Clemson and Alabama,
right.
It's going to be hard. And the best player in L.A. last year is at Oregon. He didn't even stay in California. How does that happen?
Which is crazy, man. California has a boatload of talent on a regular basis, and to see those guys not good at in the upper echelon in college football, so it ain't pretty.
That's a great point you brought up, though, man.
What'd you say?
I was just saying, remember when USC had it rolling with all those guys?
When we were in school, it was
– when Beanie made me start my first game ever at USC.
But, bro, USC was good. Kyle was good. I mean, UCLA was – they was up in there going to be a ranked team. You knew that for certain. And to see that decline and them to fall off the cliff, well, they always say California is one of those states that's going to drift away from everybody else
and
become an island.
Sunshine.
But, I mean, to watch it, you know, happen right now, man, it's mind-blowing.
Well, I mean, Cal was supposed to be good this year, but they just lost their quarterback for the year, and their other quarterback is terrible. You knew what you were getting with USC. UCLA is awful. Stanford is having a terrible year.
Right.
And then you've got Oregon and Washington up there coming into California and taking all the guys for the next 4 years to be better than...
I just can't believe it.
Where does it turn back to where California's good again? USC's going to have to hammer this higher. And it's not going to be Urban Meyer, but it's going to have to be somebody incredible.
But is it, though? Is it not going to be him? Is Urban,
I didn't mean to bring up that topic.
No, but you got to. I mean, you can't help but talk about it because that's the biggest rumor out there in sports is Urban Meyer is going to take the USC job. Urban's out there in California right now doing Fox Sports. Will it be a situation like, man, I see these palm trees. I love it out here. My wife could relax out here. You're not in a high-pressure situation going to USC like you would be at Ohio State. So he will have time. He will have time to be able to build that program. I mean, you got L.A., the Chargers out there. You got the Rams out there. So it's not like you're the end-all, be-all in California anymore like you used to be. So he can kind of go under the radar there, take this gig and say, all right, give me a year or two and let me get right back in the groove of things.
Hey,
that could be interesting.
And for a guy like him to go over there, I think that'd definitely spark it back because it's like you get the guys come out there, they start seeing these palm trees, the sunlight.
Have you seen how good he is at TV, though? Like, that guy.
That's the thing. He's good as hell.
He could make just as much money on TV
100%
as he
agree.
Could coaching football and never have to hop on a plane to recruit ever again.
100% agree.
And if he wanted Fox to say, hey, I don't want to travel to L.A. every weekend,
right.
Fox would be like, all right, we'll just do it from Columbus.
Exactly. I believe it. I mean, he's that good. I mean, Herbstreit's been doing it for so long, but Urban, he has a different element. He's a head coach. He's a national championship winning head coach. He's good as hell at breaking down shit and talking about stuff before it's going to happen. Almost like Tony Romo does, and Urban's not even doing it for a game because he's not studying up on these games. He's talking about a conglomerate of games.
And think about this. Fox gets the best Big Ten game every week, right? Mm-hmm. Or the best Big 12, whichever one they prefer. The ESPN pregame show, College Game Day, their coach that breaks things down is Lee Corso, who has been on the decline for how many years? CBS, their coach in the studio, is Houston Nutt. Who's the coach on Fox?
Right.
Like, who's the guy? Who are people tuning in to
watch? Did his salary come out on there? Did they say what they were paying?
I don't know what he's making, but it's not enough.
But at some point, I can see Urban Meyer being one of those $10 million guys on TV. So, yeah, so that right there could be a reason why he doesn't come back to coaching is because he's so good and people love seeing him break shit down. And what we're watching right – I know at some point this won't be the case, but when we're watching those games right now, about 90% of the top games in which we're seeing him call – he's going to be able to say, man, I've been in those kids' living rooms, so I know what this guy is like. I've seen him. I spoke to his coach. I know his mom. That shit is even more impressive, and it perks the ears and eyes of people that are viewing him. So, yeah, man, that thing right there is something to consider, but being out there in California, you also got to consider that job as well. That's all I got. But what else you got, man, for Benny and the Boom?
Try to get him on your podcast.
That would be great if he would come on. Urban's so fucking busy, though. Man. I don't know. That would be amazing.
I think that's pretty much –
Man, that's it. That's a wrap, man. So we had a good one.
We hit it off.
We did, man. Tune in to Beanie and the Boom, man. Go on the podcast apps, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Apple Play, all that good shit. And
– BetDSI.
At BetDSI.com. And you see that little button down there when you watch it on YouTube. hit the subscribe. Subscribe to Beanie and Boone Podcast. Subscribe to Let Him Row. Check out the store. Get some Beanie and Boone shirts. I don't have a Beanie and Boone shirt on right now, but nonetheless, we got a bunch of them back here that we need to get out to the people.
Yeah.
Some Beanie and Boone, get some Let Him Row gear. That's a wrap on the show.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.